sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Hit hard but caught. Kyle Isbell out on a line drive. Corbin Burns has never thrown a complete game in Major League Baseball. Looked like it might happen today, but it won't.
Yeah, season high, 8 innings of work. And I tell you what, he was outstanding for the Orioles.
You know, why players go places has a lot to do with their winning component, but really this boils down to ownership. Ironically, that player has performed well in your market, and also, ironically, the player has given you in the postseason exactly what you'd expect from a number one. So all those unknowns that are coupled with free agency are known to Baltimore, which gives them more of an insight, and I would assume an aggression to continue to make this team more and more of what it needs to be.
Scott Boras, that was during the winter meetings earlier this month. Talking about Corbin Burns, pending free agent, no longer free agent, and the Orioles' chances of keeping him around for the long term. And we heard ESPN on the call, was that playoff game against the Royals, where he pitched brilliantly into the eighth inning. Orioles had a hard time scoring runs, as you recall, in the postseason. That's why they were dismissed in two really quick games. But Corbin Burns is one and done. And there are varying reports in regards to how much the Orioles offered Corbin Burns to keep him here in the Charm City. John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, saying the Orioles offered more than Arizona did. Danielle Allen Tuck from the Baltimore Banner says no. Competitive, air quotes, but not as much. The preference always was to stay out west. We're just reading. I'm going over 7, 8 months now of data, 10. Because the Orioles traded for him, what, February 1st last year? Now he's gone. And we've been asking the question here on the show. Me, Nolan, Joe LaCroix was here last week. As Oriole fans, if they were competitive in the bidding, and I've said all along, if they were competitive and he just said, I prefer to go out west, Arizona where I have a house, Arizona where my kids live, go Godfather where my wife sleeps, and where my children play with their toys. Godfather 2, you're not familiar, I'll talk about it later. And they came out of nowhere, it seemed, because the Giants were in, Orioles were in, Blue Jays were in. According to John Heyman, New York Post, MLB Network, there was another East team that offered 7 and 250. I'm going to go Colombo here. It wasn't Tampa. So did New York or Boston decide, let's get crazy? Yankees had already signed Max Fried. Red Sox had already traded for Garrett Crochet. Who else could it have been? There's only 5 teams in the division, unless I read it wrong. But Orioles offered dough. He turned it down. Wanted to stay out west. Where he's from, does it lessen the sting? Of course not. You lost your ace. Your pitching staff, starting pitching, is kind of in a shambles right now. Let's be honest. Even Grayson Rodriguez, who's got ace potential, he missed the last 2 months of the season, including the playoffs, because he was hurt. And he was hurt 2 years ago, right on the verge of coming up to the majors. Eflin's cool. I'm cool with him. No problem with him. He was Tampa's opening day starter last year. Dean Kramer, he pitches every 5th day. I like our chances. Not saying he's going to dominate. Not saying he's going to be the best starting pitcher on the diamond that day. But he keeps you in ball games, gives you chances to win. But he's not an ace by whatever definition it's been for a bazillion, almost cost, bazillion years. Albert Suarez, a year ago at this time, most of us didn't even know who he was. And don't lie. Because if you say you did, you're lying. I'm going to call you bluff. So, yeah, starting pitching, problemo. What's plan D? Because say Crochet was plan B. He's gone. I'd have been cool with Blake Snell, big time. He wanted to play for the Dodgers, pretty much said it when he signed the contract. And then Fried, apparently the Orioles did the dance with him, whatever to level. Probably wasn't that serious, obviously. But Corbin Burns is gone. Now, this is my opinion. I'm not going to get into the same old Oriole narrative where David Rubenstein was like, bleep that, we're not spending this kind of money. Based, again, varying reports. And until Corbin Burns or Scott Boras comes out and states directly, Orioles offered X at X. These were the ramifications. I'll defer to, you know, experts like Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Fame baseball writer, same with John Heyman. I'm cool with them. And I'm not dismissing Daniel Allentuck by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't know. Neither Corbin Burns nor Scott Boras called me over the weekend. And if they would have called between 12 and 2 Saturday, very high probability I wouldn't answer the phone because I went to the Maryland game, which we'll talk about later in the show with Chris Nocke. As the Terps embark on a West Coast trip. I'm not buying this. It's same old Orioles. David Rubenstein, 75 years old. He made it clear multiple times, urgency to win a World Series is pretty high. Windows wide open. Now, we can get into different layers of this. Oh, you signed Burns. Then what does that mean for Gunner? What's it mean for Rutschman or whoever else? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And by the way, since Scott Boras is Gunnar Henderson's agent, I'm assuming in about 3 years we'll be worried about this all over again. But the same old Orioles narrative with cheapness, I'm not buying it. No pun intended. Nolan McGraw, listener, sports@583-1057. Get in here, Bob Eddie. And Nolan McGraw on this, I don't want to say Victory Monday because Ravens won on Christmas. They play Saturday. How about this 18-point spread? All right, we'll get into all of that. Nolan McGraw, are you running hot? You've had a couple of days. I didn't know about it until I woke up on Saturday morning, by the way, that Burns had agreed to a deal with the Diamondbacks. But Nolan McGraw, you're an Oriole fan since birth. You don't talk about the Orioles because you have to, because you work in Baltimore. You talk about the Orioles because you love the Orioles. Go.
Well, it sucks. There's your expert analysis.
And,
I'm glad I had to wait to see it Saturday morning. I could have maybe by chance checked my phone when I woke up in the middle of the night. I probably wouldn't have fallen back to sleep if I saw this in the middle of the night. And it was shocking at first because of the initial figures. What was the reported asking price that we were hearing early last week or even
245?
Right, 245. That was the round number. We didn't have a year's estimate, but we could assume, all right, 245, you're probably going to have to stretch into 7 or 8 years at that point, just based off of what Max Fried got. Well, come to find out, he signs for less than Max Fried for only 6 years. That certainly would have been, in my thought, would have been in the Orioles' wheelhouse. I don't know where to go with this. And like you said, unless we had a concrete figure on what the Orioles offered, I don't know how to feel. Because if they truly did come in under that 210 asking price, as the banner is reporting, then that would be flat out unacceptable.
I'm with you on that. If, in fact, that's true.
Right.
Which we don't know.
Other side of the coin, personally, me, I have a hard time believing that they offered $30, $40, $50 million more, and he turned that down to stay at home. It's not an indictment on Burns. Maybe he is that guy. Maybe he's just that guy that cares more about his family and where he's from than a couple extra million. I can't wrap my head around it, but maybe that's him. And if it is, more power to him. But I just find it hard to believe.
But you base, and I'm just asking you, again, we don't know the answer. But you base the, you have a hard time believing the Orioles offered 250 based on previous ownership?
No, I have a hard time believing that he got a higher offer and turned it down to go home.
Okay. Well, and I also, reading, you know, I always like, because I do it too. I heard, you didn't hear, you read it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were listening to another, you know, I mean, it's not like, hey, come here, you. Did you hear? No, it wasn't that. But that the sales tax in Maryland can be quite problematic for some people. And look, by pretty much every report we've read, Toronto is like, please take our money.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants, I don't know what the Canadian tax rate is, whatever a dollar is up there is called versus what the rate is. I don't understand American finance, quite frankly, but they have a hard time getting anyone. Giants were all in, and they've spent money before. But yeah, everyone was stunned it was Arizona. But if you kind of connect dots, really, they were in the World Series 2 years ago. They were contenders last year. It's not.
And their rotation now, my God.
Yeah, it's not like he went to play for the worst team in baseball just to be home with his wife and kids. I mean, there's also a winning advantage because he's been in the playoffs with the Brewers and the Orioles. So he knows what it's like. And, you know, I'm assuming eventually the ring's the thing for him, like most people.
Right. Now, I was in the naive camp and thinking that the Orioles had a better shot than most people thought.
I was with you too, man.
But it came from a place of hope. It came from that inner fandom. I'm not going to lie about that. But the issue now is, all right, what are you left with? You got to do something. It wasn't just Burns or no move at all. You still have to make a move, and preferably someone who could be, again, more front-end starter. If you're looking at strictly free agents, I don't think there's anybody that can take that mantle. Your biggest name left is Jack Flaherty. I'm not going to disparage him anymore, but he's the best name available in terms of free agency. Now you've essentially forced yourself to make a trade, and as we know, that's a two-way street. You know, free agency, I guess that's a two-way street as well, but if you throw a big bag of money at someone, at a certain point, it's an offer they can't refuse. Trades, you got to deal with another GM. Are you going to overpay there in terms of trade value? The pool of players that you're willing to trade is now shrunk after last year's deadline. It's a tough spot.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Is it the same old Orioles as you see it? Of course, we're just having a conversation here. Corbin Burns is gone. One and done. 6 years, 210. Gets what, 70 mil guaranteed, $30 million signing bonus. He literally goes to the state in which he lives to play baseball. So how do we begrudge that? But if the Orioles did offer more than Arizona, has been reported by other outlets, and he just turned it down, then I can't blame the Orioles. If they came below 210, then I'll be agitated, just like everybody else. But where do they go from here? All right, Ravens, they play Saturday. 18-point favorites against the Browns. We get to yesterday's NFL slate. But if you want to talk about the Terps, you want to talk about the college football playoffs, which resume tomorrow, you want to rag on the Orioles, or maybe you look at bigger picture stuff when it comes to the Orioles. Because, look, January's in 2 days, which means pitchers and catchers in about 6 weeks. And the roster's acceptable to, if you want to win 88 games, level. If you want to take advantage of your air quotes open window to win the World Series, this isn't the team on paper right now that's capable of doing it. So your urgency level with the Orioles or your frustration level, whatever, get on in here. Hey, man, it's December 30th. Ravens are going to the playoffs. If they beat Cleveland as 18-point favorites to win the division, they get a home playoff game. Now they need Buffalo, Kansas City to lose to get divisional round home playoff games, and we'll see how that goes. Oh, that MVP thing. That still seems to be a topic. Corbin Burns is traveling on. Arizona. Got a lot of people running hot. I don't know. Get in. You want to vent? I'll listen. Again, I don't know the contract figures that were thrown out there in reality. Did the Orioles come in low and he said, I got to go? Or did they come in high anyway? Bye-bye. Nolan, I'm ripping here on a Monday. But either way, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about Ravens playing on Saturday afternoon at 4:30 against the Cleveland Browns? What do you think of that matchup?
I kind of like it. I mean, look, the game actually means something for the Ravens. Everyone's assuming victory.
Yeah.
18.5 point spread, as you mentioned earlier.
Correctly.
You should. You should assume victory in that situation. But division matchup, saw what the Ravens did against the Browns earlier this year. Nothing. Nothing is a guarantee.
And then Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati Saturday night, which I do like. Actually, I'm not really against the Saturday game. Because if the Ravens win, they win the division. But what's Pittsburgh's want to, borrow a Buck Showalter term, if Baltimore wins before they kick off, knowing they can't win the North? I guess seeding is still part of the equation for them in the postseason.
Could
right?
be. Also, you know, keeping the Bengals out, because the Bengals not only need a win, they need some help on top of that. But, you know, and the Denver loss might be unlikely there just because they're playing the Chiefs.
Hey, Carson Wentz, man.
You know, anyway, so essentially I would think, hey, let's do our part to keep what we can all agree is a dangerous team that's getting hot at the wrong or the right time for them. Wrong team, wrong time for everyone else. No one wants to play the Bengals in the playoffs. Steelers probably wouldn't get them in a first round matchup anyway, but they don't want them as part of the picture. And at the end of the day, it's a rival. Just knock them out. Finish the job.
And with that Saturday game too, no matter the Ravens result, because the Bengals have to win, they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Cincinnati, because Miami needs to lose and Denver needs to lose and Cincy needs to win to get in. And yeah, they'd be scary, but because of Joe Burrow and that offense, but man, their kicker's not all that great and their defense stinks.
No.
I mean, how scary really? I think to Vinny's point last week, I think the Chargers would be scarier than the Bengals. I don't know.
For the Ravens, I think the Bengals would be the scariest.
Yeah.
Just based on the regular season history. Both of those games came down to the very last play, overtime in one of them. Should have been overtime in the other one if the Bengals didn't go for the win on the last play. I mean, I don't care how many improvements this Ravens defense has shown. I still wouldn't feel comfortable trying to defend that offense.
Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. Jacob Calvin Meyer, Baltimore Sun, joining us top of the hour. Talking about Corbin Burns going to Arizona and the Diamondbacks. And I guess the main thing is that we all, because it's a moot point now, he's not coming back. Did the Orioles really offer him a competitive below what he got or even exceeded by millions? And he just decided. And hopefully Jacob can shed some light on all of that. Chris Nockey, Maryland Basketball Network, Terps Network, which we are the flagship home of the Fan. Talk about Maryland. You know, going through the non-conference part of the schedule, they did beat Ohio State, lost to Purdue. But now things in earnest really start to percolate here. So Chris will talk about the strengths, weaknesses of this team. New rankings come out today, by the way, and we'll see if Maryland gets in. I mean, UCLA had the toughest game of the back end of the 25s, and they beat Gonzaga over the weekend. So we shall see. But let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. We'll start it off today. Tony in Rosedale. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
I told you a month ago, Bob. Nobody wanted the Bengals in this playoffs. Remember I was preaching that back then, that game they had against the Steelers, and I said I want the Steelers win?
Yeah.
I do not want to see Brandon Stevens trying to guard T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. I just don't want to see that kind of matchup or nothing like that. But I want to talk about Corbin Burns real quick, and then I want to talk about this game Saturday real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Corbin Burns, okay. Your producer needs to hear this. 1988. We had a situation here where a deal was all but done. Bill Bidwell flew over the Camden site development and what we was going to promise him, and he was bringing the Cardinals here. We printed T-shirts and everything, Baltimore Cardinals. He went home, talked to Wifey, and Wifey said, I don't like the weather there, and I don't want to go there. And bam, you have the Arizona Cardinals. You remember that. Don't you?
Not to that detail, but,
yeah, but
I mean, they were leaving St. Louis, which was, you know, similar to Baltimore weather-wise, if not much worse during the winter, you know what I mean?
But the point I'm making is he's home.
Yeah,
family and friends. That stuff supersedes sometimes when you're talking millions of dollars or whatever. What could be done? And I hate to admit this. Who has more of a baseball history, Arizona or the Orioles? To him, he knows Randy Johnson, Craig Counsell.
It's the he knows Jim Palmer because Jim Palmer sees him every day. I mean, but
right, but you understand what I'm saying? There's more of a history there than here.
I get you to some level. Tony, I think the going home part's probably the, if the Orioles came 30 mil more and he decided with another year and no opt-out or whatever it was, and he just wanted to go, you know, spring training's in Arizona. They play 81 games in Arizona. They're a good team. I mean, come on. Kind of makes sense, I guess. I don't know. Is an Oriole fan, I'm bent. Because who's pitching opening day for the Birds? That's what I want to know.
Right, my final point. This schedule, I think the NFL fouled it all up. All right. Like you said, if we win the game, Pittsburgh has nothing to play for. If Cincinnati loses, all those games, Miami and whoever else Sunday, is irrelevant. They should have scheduled all these games at 1 o'clock Sunday, so nobody knows who lost or whatever, and they could just play to their best potential. Then splitting it up like this, you're creating irrelevant games for Saturday and Sunday.
Well, we will say they got it right, Tony, and thanks for the call. And if I don't talk to you, Happy New Year to you and the family. And I'll see you Saturday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll see you down there Saturday. You'll be watching me lose at the slot machines as he does every home game. But Detroit, Minnesota for the number one seed, I mean, they got that right. I guess. All right, let's go to PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say happy birthday to one of your great listeners, Antonio. I turned 29 today. So
Antonio, happy birthday, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing with the Orioles and Burns, I think it's just a philosophy. And we should all be happy as fans that our, you know, ownership and GM has a philosophy. And I think the philosophy is proven. You can see it, that he drafts early catchers, shortstop, center fielders, and guys that can hit. And then he knows you just have to throw numbers at the pitching thing. So then he just acquires pitchers late in the draft. And you just want to have those guys under team control. So I think it was a good faith offer to Burns. He's a high character guy and this, that, and the other. But I got no problem if they offered the $200 million, he just wants to go home, right?
Sure. And let's look at it this way. And I'm not going here, by the way, PT, but I'm also looking at some of the stats, the analytics. His K rates dipped the last few years. You know what I mean? He relies more on that cutter than anything. The fastball velo used to be high 90s, now sits at 90. And we're talking about it like he's a scrub, let's be honest. But so there's ways to nitpick what Arizona did to bring him back. And I believe there is an opt-out after 3 years, too. So we'll
see. Right. And then you look at the other big money pitchers, like Chris Sale, the guy looked bulletproof, you know, 10 years ago. He only gave Boston two good seasons out of seven. You know what I mean? So I just think it's a philosophy that Elias has. And if you look at it, it really does make sense. And like you said earlier in the show, Elfin was the day one starting pitcher for Tampa. And the whole thing with Rodriguez is you just got to keep him healthy. But when the kid's healthy, he looks like a legit number one. And that's from MajorLeagueBaseball.com or whatever they're talking about how he's a legit number one. And we're not really sure what we got with the Japanese pitcher. But I don't think it's fair to say that he's a five. I mean, he could very well be a two or a three, right?
No clue. I mean, if I'd sit here and try to pontificate PT about his resume, I'd be lying to you. I know he throws a lot of strikes, keeps the ball on the ground, and that's a good thing. And he fields his position. So there's three strengths. But he's never pitched against, you know, Aaron Judge and Rafael Devers, and you know what I'm saying here.
Right. But the one thing I do disagree with you on, Bob, and
I
just think I think you're giving the Orioles starting pitching a bad. I mean, it's not like they're the worst starting pitching in baseball. I mean, aren't they an above average, you know, top 10 starting pitchers in Major League Baseball?
I think if you compared rotations right now in the division, the Orioles at best would be third, maybe right, even fourth behind Toronto.
Right, but we've got the best. I think the bullpen is a top five in baseball, right?
I don't hate. The mountain hasn't pitched in over a year.
Right, but the lineup, Now, that's where you're not going to bend on me with
Bobby. Hey, PT, look, I want him to win as much as you, but it's the pitching. And that lineup, and the injuries had a lot to do with it. They went from being the most productive offensive team in baseball for the first 2.5 months to being one of the more, let's say, inconsistent lineups. I mean, they led the league in runs and homers and OPS. I mean, they were doing all sorts of brilliant things offensively, and then they didn't. And that kind of rolled into the postseason, as we unfortunately saw. Hey, PT, Happy New Year and all that good stuff to you and your family, if I don't talk to you tomorrow.
To you too, Bob. Thank you.
You got it, bud. If you're on the phones, we'll get you next. 410-583-1057 is the number. 580, Nolan McGraw. No musical theme. We're just going with the flow. Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. He's going to try to figure it all out for us. Did the Orioles come cheap, or did they go high and he just wanted to go home? We're talking about Corbin Burns.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the fan.
Good evening, Haney, 105.7, the fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, and he's off today. New Year's in a couple of days. Got some college b-ball during the afternoon. Nothing happening while we're on the air, but, you know, a little bit later on, Maryland won on Saturday over UMES. Things get real for them as they go out west to Washington and Oregon. Ducks ranked number 9, coming off a big win yesterday, which we'll get to during the whip around. We'll talk about the Terps, how they have prepared themselves for the gauntlet that will be the rest of the Big Ten schedule with Chris Knocke at 11:30. Ravens play Saturday, 4:30 against the Browns as they get flexed there. Browns coming in 3-13, losing at home quietly yesterday to the Dolphins. Ravens 18.5-point favorites, according to ESPN Bet. So a crazy time. Ravens win. They win the division. Get a home playoff game. Opponent to be determined. And the big news over the weekend, Orioles related, was Corbin Burns is going back home to Arizona. And what I'm asking, like everybody else, did the Orioles put up a competitive offer? And then he just didn't want to play here because he felt more comfortable elsewhere, or did they come cheap? And then the narrative will change. We'll talk about that with Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun in a matter of minutes. But let's go to Ben in Owings Mills. Ben, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. I heard a caller talking about the Bengals with Stevens. I wouldn't be that worried about that because KC – in their best interest, should try to lose this game. Because if they do win, the Bengals would play Buffalo first. And it's a good – that's a toss-up. There's a good chance the Bengals could beat Buffalo.
Yeah, and they've won there in the playoffs before, by the way, a couple years ago.
Right, and then KC would play the Bengals. It wouldn't be us. So I think KC kind of doesn't want to win this game because I don't think they want – the Bengals in the playoffs, and I'm sure Buffalo probably doesn't want him in there either. And then my next thing is, the thing about Burns, I think when he signed, there was a good chance he's saying he wanted to go back home. I just didn't know why the Orioles didn't do anything at the deadline or try to do anything when free agency started at the beginning to do anything. I don't see him just making a decision, hey, I want to go to Arizona now. I thought they should have had some kind of insurance to try to have done something beforehand, before it got to this point. But thanks for taking my call, Bob.
All right, Ben, appreciate it. And look, I'm guessing they had contingency plans, but how serious were they? Was Corbin Burns plan A, and then everything else just kind of collapsed around him? You know what I mean? Because Blake Snell's been gone for weeks. Max Fried, same thing. Garrett Crochet, I mean, did the Orioles kick tires and didn't like what Chicago was asking for? Prospect-wise, I mean, nobody really knows. Sources are always telling you things, but, I mean, do you really get to the bottom of it? Bottom line is, what we do know is Corbin Burns isn't playing here next year, or maybe ever again. He's going to Arizona. I will be satisfied if the Orioles made an offer that was greater than 6 years, $210 mil. And some reports are Bob Nightingale, John Heyman, the Orioles, offered him way more than what Arizona did. And then he just turned it down. All right, what else are you going to do? You don't want my money? All right, do what you got to do. Now the bigger picture is, question, where's the, where you got to address pitching. Now you're going to have to trade. Because the as Nolan pointed out, the list of free agents are not on the level of Corbin Burns or Zach Eflin or Grayson Rodriguez or Dean Kramer. For that matter, you want to bring in someone that's going to go to the top of the heap, not fit in. Unless, as PT says, the offense is just so dynamic and the bullpen's going to be so strong that you can get by with good pitching, not great pitching. I don't know. We got time for a call. Nolan McGraw makes the call. We go to Harry in Owings Mills. Harry, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I, too, looked at the schedule last night when I saw the Saturday slate. And I was trying to understand the rationale of what the NFL is doing. Because, if anything, I thought that they would have switched the times for the Ravens, Browns, and Steelers, Bengals. Because, like somebody said earlier, and I was thinking the same thing, the Ravens beat Cleveland. That's less of a reason for the Steelers to have to play unless the NFL is banking on the Steelers wanting to beat the Bengals and wanting to having them win so they can face the Texans in the first round. Because I would certainly be motivated enough if I'm the Steelers to win so you don't have to come to Baltimore. Because potentially they could have to come to Baltimore. I don't want that to be the case. I would rather not see the Steelers in the first round. I'm not afraid of them, especially at home, but I'd rather not. That's just my point. Now, I didn't have a problem with them doing it on Saturday because it gives me the thought that Steelers and Ravens will probably be playing in the first, the following Saturday on Wild Card Weekend. Maybe that's the reason why they've done it. But I would like to see them either do it Sunday at 1 o'clock or just switch the two times. And one more point I wanted to make about the Lady Terps, they're looking to have a fantastic season this year. They do have some tough games. They got number one UCLA and number four USC, but they do get them at home. And then against number five Texas, they actually get them at a neutral site in New Jersey.
Yeah, they just beat Michigan State, right? Yesterday?
Yeah, they had me nervous. I was watching the game, and fortunately, they pulled it out with a 6-point victory.
Hey, thanks, Harry. Happy New Year to you, Harry, too, if I don't talk to you tomorrow. But yeah, Brenda Freeze redid a roster. And here they are ranked in the top 10, having one of the best starts of the season we've seen in a long, long time. And keep in mind, she set that bar really high in College Park in her 20 years as the head coach. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Bob, 80, Nolan McGraw, if you're on the phone, you're next. We got Jacob Calvin Meyer talking about this Corbin Burns drama. As the world turns, now the question is, who do the Orioles circle back to? Or who? I mean, Jack Flaherty, you know, a year and a half ago, everybody hated him. Nah, he might be number one on their wish list for the new year. John Heyman, for instance, tweeting this out. Corbin Burns turned out more money per year and overall, but the big benefit in addition to the $35 million, the low state tax in Arizona, opt out in 2 years. He and his young family live in the Phoenix area. Also said three teams, including the Orioles and the Orioles, were the biggest Burns bidders. So. There you go. Whatever that means.
Right. Reading between the lines a little bit.
Was it 1 year and $500 million?
That's what I'm thinking here is that, all right, because we have these sort of conflicting reports where the Orioles were very competitive, and then another report locally from the Banner says that they came in under what he initially signed for. Maybe both are true in the sense that they didn't reach the 210 overall, and they only offered, say, 3 years instead of six. But the annual value was in line, maybe even more annual per year than what he's getting from Arizona, but much shorter lifespan.
So you're not buying it.
I'm not buying it.
The vibe I'm getting from you there, Nolan.
That seems like...
My mood ring says negativity from Nolan.
If I had to guess, that seems like the situation where all the reports are true.
Okay. All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go back to Timonium. Bring in Cool C. Cool C, what's up?
All right, guy. Well, he stole my thunder earlier because I was on this morning. But yes, if the Bengals do get in, which it doesn't look like they will because the Chiefs are laying down, they would be the seventh seed. They play Buffalo in the first round, okay? If they were to win that game, let's say they do, they go to Kansas City. The Ravens could avoid the Bills and the Chiefs and get three. The only time we would face the Bengals would be in the AFC Championship at home. We could get three straight playoff games at home if we win our first two against, you know, the Texans or the Chargers and the Steelers. So it would actually benefit the Ravens for the Bengals to get that spot, but they're not going to get it. they're not going to get it because, like you say, the Chiefs are laying down. Now, back to MVP.
Yes.
Lamar has played 11 playoff teams this year, okay? Josh Allen's played 5. He's 2-3, and he lost head-to-head with the Ravens. Lamar is 8-3 versus playoff teams. We've had the toughest schedule in football. That carries weight in the MVP's category, even though the national media. Now, today, I've heard it all day, they want to give it to Burrow. They're saying Joe Burrow should win the MVP if they make the playoffs, which they're probably not. Lamar is 2-0 against Burrow head-to-head and 1-0 against Allen. So I'm not saying they've erased Lamar, but they're really giving it now. They're calling it fatigue, Lamar fatigue. He's 1-2. It's time for someone else. But Lamar has clearly had the toughest schedule of all of those, of the top three. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, you can give it to Allen if you want, and I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve it. But Lamar is right there, and in my opinion, he should get it. And I don't think it's even – Burrow's got more yardage, but he has to throw on every play. He has to throw a pass on every single day.
Sacked 7 times. Yeah, look, but their defense stinks, and I get that they can –
correct.
Yeah, he can do all this great thing. I mean, he's thrown 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens this year, and they've lost both games. Yeah, I'm scared to some level, cool C, but not to the point where I'm quaking in my boots. You know what I mean?
And Burrow up. They couldn't stop us. We couldn't stop them.
Right.
Same thing. Our defense was horrible at that point.
Where does Saquon Barkley fit into any of it? We talk about, you know, maybe it's quarterback fatigue. Where does Barkley just eclipsed 2,000 yards yesterday? Where does he fit in?
Well, Lamar just passed Michael Vick all time.
Right.
At 27 years old. That has to carry some weight. All time rushing quarterback in history. Did it this year. So, look. It's a toss-up. I get it. But national media wants to give it to Burrow today because of what happened yesterday. So they flip-flop every week. All right, I'll let you go. Bye, guys.
All right, cool, Steve. Thank you very much. And when we talk about Eric Dickerson, all the great things he's done in his career, the year he broke the rushing record, which was 40 years ago, unbelievably, by the way, he didn't win MVP. Dan Marino won it. It's quarterback league. I mean, running backs have won it. Walter Payton won it. Earl Campbell won it. Didn't Adrian Peterson, I believe, won it? But it's a few and far between scenario which a non-quarterback takes home the award. And Joe Burrow, and as great as he's been, and he's been great. I mean, we've seen it up close and personal twice with the Ravens. I mean, they need help to get to the playoffs where the Ravens are, they win as 18-point favorites. They're going to win their division. Get a home playoff game. Oh, no. How you feel?
Well, I mean, as far as the Lamar breaking Vic's record, I mean, that was inevitable. I'm not saying it's not impressive, but it could have happened or maybe should have happened 2 years ago if he didn't get hurt earlier in his career. He would have passed it earlier.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen this year, it would have happened next year. It was always going to happen. Whereas breaking Dickerson's record, that's never a guarantee for anybody. And it's not a guarantee this year. Barkley's still got some work to do.
Yeah, and he's not exactly stumping for it either. Lamar, the MVP I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because he's got 2. Maybe it gives you a little more, all right, I've been there, done that. I mean, where Allen, I think's openly campaigning, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and his teammates already bought him the fancy chain, crowning him MVP.
And Zach Taylor said that Joe Burrow's best quarterback of football. And what are they going to say? You know what I mean? Yeah, Joe Burrow... Other than Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's cool.
I think his coach come out and say he's not good enough.
Oh, by the way, Lamar Jackson, depending on the circumstances of Saturday's game, still got a chance to rush for 1,000 yards. Needs a .148. I don't see it happening. But, you know, a little 3-touchdown first half, put this thing to bed early. Personally, I think he deserves it. But if Josh Allen gets it, I'm not mad.
Right.
Because he is by far the most valuable player on his team.
The more I think about it, I think the first place votes will be split. Because remember, the new voting, it's like the NBA. You pick a first, second, and third instead of just one vote only.
Sure.
So I think the first place votes might be split 50-50, but Lamar will get more second, third place votes.
Sure, that's like the Heisman vote, as a matter of fact. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Return to the Orioles. Jacob Calvin Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Corbin Burns is not coming back. He's going to Arizona. How competitive was the Orioles' offer? So we can put this to bed. Now the big question is, where do they go now? I think the rotation needs help. Remember last year in May? Hey, you got too many pitchers. Then by the All-Star break, half of them were on the injured list. We'll come back. Jacob Kalvenmeier, whip around 11:15. What happened over the weekend in the world of sports? And then Chris Nockey, Maryland Radio Network, talk about the Terps. They've done the preliminary round of their schedule as the calendar is about to flip to 25. How good are they heading into the Big Ten in a big way now, having to go out west to play your games?